All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I don't have any chat yet. Rumble's not loading like it needs to right now. It's having some kind of problem. It's not on our end, just so you know. It is actually on Rumble's end, but I can't see you guys in the chat right now. When I do, there we go. Just popped up. All right, there we go. Veronica 18201 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Robin Aroni's on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Alpha Acres is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Salty Gonads is on. Alpha Acres is on. All right, JD Wool is on. Adam Lombard is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Skunk 71's on. Sexy Pony's on. JD Wool is on. DK Jackson's on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Bud Dave is on. Sheila K is on. LA 106 Times is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Mike Griffith is on. K4 VMS is on. East Trout is on. Judy Anita is on. Nate Dad 1 already in the rant. Thank you, Nate Dad, is on. Let me see here. Mobetta 01 is on. Richard Perry's on. Agravane is on. Peg McGroin is on. Granite 2468 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Those Jesus People is on. Jim Brody's on. Clean Sanchez is on. Will Gilbert is on. Stephan Toms is on. Producer Aaron is on. I Am Mark FB is on. Scott Alot is on. Let me see here. John Phillips is on. Conservative Waffle is on. JD Wool is on. Scrolling down for just a minute. King Slutsy McGroin is on. Let me see here. PJ Wiles is on. Let me see here. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just glad that we're not talking about Iran tonight. Well, not right yet, anyway. I've got it buried quite a bit, and it's on purpose, just so you know. We could do a whole show on the back and forth between the leftist media claiming that Donald Trump did not. Now, the word that you have to say, I'm going to try not to get into this tonight. I'm not going to get into it. I make a commitment right now, and you know how much I stick with my commitments. So anyway, I mean, if you're gonna like tote the neocon MAGA line right now, the neocon side of MAGA, you have to say that the Iranian nuclear program was what word? Obliterated. You have to say obliterated. That's what you have to say. You have to say obliterated. But anyway, and all sycophantism, I can't stand it, just so you know. I don't care who it's for. I don't care who it's for. I would hate it if it was towards me. I hate all sycophantism. I hate it. Just so you know, I can't stand it, whether it's for Trump or for Obama or anybody else. But anyway, so the leftist media, this is all the stuff I'm hoping not to cover at all. I do have it down here, but it's buried under my whole, finally getting to my whole Muslim rant that I've been wanting to do for, I don't know, 3 months. But anyway, so it's Trump administration, Hegseth, even Radcliffe from the CIA, Caroline Levitt, Trump himself, Marco Rubio, it's all of them versus the leftist media. Now, the strange thing is, even though I'm against this attack on Iran, now, of course, when it's Trump versus the leftist media, I'm on Trump's side. Because the way that I sum up the attack on Iran was basically eating a giant pile of poop. Now, what Trump has done is he ate the poop, but he got nothing on his face. There's no collateral damage, no Americans killed. We were not drawn into another war, which, by the way, I never said we were going to be, and I never said we were going to be in World War III. I'm simply against the attack. Was I worried we'd have been up with boots on the ground? Sure I was. But I never espoused that we were going to be in World War III or even a full military conflict. I never did espouse that. A lot of people did. And if you didn't espouse the precision strike and it's not an act of war, then the neocon MAGAs, now run by Meghan McCain and run by Mark Levin, and numerous others that I can name, whoever it may be, just a whole bunch of people who used to be absolute. I mean, Mark Levin hates Donald Trump, hates him. And if you didn't tote the party line, then the people who even were right on everything MAGA up to that moment, they were right on vaccines, right on lockdowns, right on everything. They even stood up against Trump with Operation Warp Speed. But if you went against this, they turned in a neocon MAGA and blacklisted you and called you fake MAGA, calling Alex Jones fake MAGA. I mean, suddenly you're siding with John Bolton and Alex Jones is fake MAGA. If you're siding with John Bolton, How are you not fake MAGA? But anyway, so now though, now that it's over and Donald Trump has eaten the poop and he got nothing on his face, and by the way, I'm glad he didn't. And I'm actually glad that it was a successful attack. That may sound weird to you, but listen, it doesn't. Because once you initiate the United States military, I'm rooting for the military, period. I'm not a leftist. I'm rooting for the military. And I'm glad that it was a successful strike. And I'm glad that no Americans were injured. Still totally against the strike. But the way I sum it up is because I believe Donald Trump bowed to some measure of Israeli pressure, obviously because he had no interest in doing this at all until Israel unilaterally struck Iran. And then, you know, he jumped in. So I think he bowed to some pressure, but he did it about as good as a compromise could be done. And that really is quintessential Trump. Even when he bends the knee, when he shouldn't, even when he eats a pile of poop, it's a small pile, and he gets nothing on his face. And now today he's kicking butt at NATO. Our economy is great. We're going to get into all of that. But the fun part of the show, now that I'm past Iran, hopefully that's the end of it. So the fun part, again, what I could be covering is, I mean, make sure I say this, what I could be covering for the entire show, and that's what it would turn into, is the back and forth between the leftist media and the Trump administration about how severe the strike was, how much of a success it was. And, you know, you have these different reports. You had a leak coming out of the Trump administration out of one of our 17 intel agencies. One of them said that it was not a very good strike, that it didn't do it that much damage, maybe set the Iranians back a few months. And then Trump went back and said, here's other intel, which was accurate, by the way. It's all accurate in the moment. There's no way to actually talk about the government. There really isn't any way to talk about it because who can you trust? And when I even say accurate, I don't believe it myself. But they just basically, you had the early intel assessments, and now you've had the later ones, and the ones that are coming out later, including from the Israelis, is that it was a severe amount of damage. It set them back years. And I, by the way, now that it's done, I'm glad it did. But it never should have been done to begin with, and you never needed to do it. But I'm glad that it was success now that it is. And now I'm siding with Trump against the leftist media because I always go, well, who is more right? Obviously, Trump is more right than any of the idiots that covered up Biden's cognitive decline, pimp vaccines, pimp masks, pimp social distancing, pimped everything wrong, pimps LGBTQ, pimps men and women's restrooms. Obviously, I'm going to side with Trump over any of them. But anyway, so the intel that I more strongly believe is the stuff now coming out of the DNI from Tulsi Gabbard, which says that it was epic destruction. So, and I believe it was epic destruction. Do I think that it obliterated their nuclear program? Absolutely not. I think it obliterated the three nuclear development centers, Fordow being one of them, and then the other two, I don't know their names. But anyway, I believe it decimated those areas. Do I believe that all of their, the nuclear materials were down there, and the radioactive materials, everything else, the enriched uranium, 60 to 90. Do I believe all of those down there? Absolutely not. Do I believe that we, the United States military, has set them back greatly? Yes. Do I believe it was a very successful strike? Yes. So I believe that Trump obviously is more right than the leftist media. Okay, so that closes out Iran. All right, so now we've had, I want to congratulate the state of New York under Kathy Hochul and the city of New York for electing now not just a Muslim. This Muslim here, Sahan, I don't know if I pronounce his name right or not. Mamdani, something like that. Soran Mamdani. It's going to be tough to say all show long because I'm going to have to say it 57 times. But anyway, he has been elected mayor, but he has been elected. He ran in the Democratic Party primary, beating Cuomo, beating Eric Adams, is now be running against whatever Republican that will lose. I don't know when they do their mayoral elections. It may be November. Some of our stuff here in Florida is in September, maybe October. I don't know when they do. I have to look it up. I should have looked it up before the show, but I honestly never thought of it till just now. But anyway, so now this Soran Mamdani, it's going to be tough because that M right before the D is tough for American. But anyway, he is now the Democrat, a socialist Muslim. I don't even know how that really works. But anyway, socialist Muslim is now going to be, he's going to be the next mayor of New York. We can all just go ahead and say that. Eric Adams is going to run as an independent. That won't work. Just got dusted in the primary. So, you know, of course, so does Chris Cuomo. Aaron sent it to me. The 2025 New York City mayoral election is scheduled to occur November 4th, 2025. There we go. So he's going to be the next mayor. So let's set this up now. Let's go across. Let's see how well this is working out so far overseas. This is a Gay Gallops video called Looky Looky. Play it for me.
The mayor of London is Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham is a Muslim. The mayor of Leeds is Muslim. The mayor of Blackburn is Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield is Muslim. The mayor of Oxford is a Muslim. The mayor of Luton is a Muslim. The mayor of Oldham is a Muslim. The mayor of Rochdale is a Muslim. All of this was achieved by only 4 million Muslims out of the 66 million people in England. Today, in England, there are over 3,000 mosques. There are over 130 Sharia courts in England. And there are more than 50 Sharia councils. 78% of Muslim women do not work and receive state support and free accommodation. 63% of Muslims do not work and receive state support and free housing. State-supported Muslim families have an average of 6 to 8 children who all receive free accommodation. Every school in the UK is required to teach about Islam. The number one most common baby name in England is Muhammad. This is not immigration. This is invasion.
And I don't know, you know, the ages, obviously, I don't know the ages of everybody that's watching right now, but you can, if you go back, I mean, you can flat out go back 10 years from now, it wasn't like this, where the number one child name in the UK, newborn name, is Muhammad. That's number one in the entire country, I believe they make, if they make up 6 or 16%, something along that line of the population, but due to mass immigration. And people want to, you know, again, people will, if you go too hard on Israel, then people blame this all on Israel, mass migration because of Israeli attacks and the unsettled Middle East. But no, it's not really just that. It's actually a Muslim invasion. It's not an invasion caused by anything really other than Muslims following the commands of Muhammad, which is basically to invade, befriend, and then turn on your friends. That is the Sharia Muslim jihadist way. They will come in. If you talk to a Muslim, they'll be very, very friendly. Oh, Tom's Islamophobic. No, that would mean that I'm afraid of Muslims. I'm anti-Islam. I'm anti-Muslim. I'm not Islamophobic at all, any more than I'm transphobic. I certainly am not afraid of a trans man or a trans woman, nor am I homophobic because I'm certainly not afraid of gay people. I'm just anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-Muslim because all three are anti-Word of God, which means anti-Christ because Jesus is the Word of God. And you look at what's happening in England right now, 63% of Muslim imports don't work. 63%. I thought this was a hard-working people. A peaceful religion, which is a lie. I mean, all you have to do is actually read the Quran and you'll see that it's not a peaceful religion. And all the people that espouse that it's a peaceful religion have never actually read the Quran, just like most Christians who espouse Christianity have never read the Bible. So that's the way that it usually is. But anyway, what they do is this is actually a Muslim invasion, and it's happening right here. And we were talking about this pre-show because Will was talking about how bothered he would be if things went this way in his community. And I said, well, please don't move to Texas. Don't move to Texas because Texas is slowly but surely being taken over by a Muslim invasion. And I mean Muslim invasion. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I actually mean Muslim invasion. But Tom, you know, it seems a little bit dichotomous because you're talking about, you know, you are against this bombing of Iran, but yet you're very fervently anti-Muslim. That's correct. What I mean by that is this. We don't have to allow Muslims in the country, but we don't have to bomb them 5,000 miles away. Hopefully everybody can actually understand graphic nuance. again, in the United States, if you want to be a Muslim, you can. You can worship the carpet if you want to. You can do whatever you want. If you're an American and you decide, I want to be a Muslim, you have every right. And by the way, Will fought and could have died for that, right? Many Americans have, and I support them doing so, for you to actually choose to be a Muslim as a citizen of the United States. But we certainly don't need to import them. You don't import a religion that its actual jihad, its actual mission is to overthrow your government. You'll hear them, well, we would never do that. We're not under the prophet of Muslim. We're Muslim and Muhammad would. No, don't listen to one word of it. It's not true. They will be friendly to your face, and they're actually commanded to do so in the Quran. Be friendly to your face, use an American vernacular, and then turn on you at the apropos time. You know, basically ingratiate themselves into society. Now, does that mean that if tomorrow I'm walking through Northport, Florida, that I'm going to be mean to Muslims? Absolutely not. And you have every right to be Muslim in the United States, but we certainly don't need to import Muslims, and we certainly do not need to be licking the boots and kissing the butts of the Muslim community because in Keir Starmer fashion, we are afraid to be called Islamophobic. So you basically allow, according to Tommy Robinson, which is 100% correct and proved by verifiable statistics, you do not have to, in Keir Starmer fashion, allow Muslim rape gangs to run wild all over the UK because you're afraid of accusing them of the rapes that they actually committed because you would then be called Islamophobic. And that's part of the manipulation. The gay community does it. The transgender community does it. Democrats do it. They'll manipulate your behavior because you're afraid of the consequences of standing up against it. And that was what was so sad about the neocon MAGAs during the Iran raid. You know, there can't be any discussion. There can't be any disagreement whatsoever with Donald J. Trump. There can't be. Otherwise, you're fake MAGA. They, you know, you might as well just go be a Muslim because that's how Muslims are. There can't be any argument. But I mean, again, the whole purpose and their actual mission, a mission as a Christian is to win the lost. Their mission is to actually take over geopolitically, take over countries and rule them via Sharia. That is not what we want. And by the way, we don't throw gays off of five-story buildings. We don't hang Christians. We don't hang Muslims. They hang Christians. They slaughter Christians in the Sudan using machetes. We don't do any of those things. So you see the stats, 63% of Muslims in London don't work, and they average 6 to 8 children, which is also part of their proliferation to conquering. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's just part of being a Muslim. It's part of the Quran. All right, Kyle Becker video. Watch NYC's leading radical. And he is their leading radical mayoral candidate, but now he's basically a pseudo one. Because you're going to have the guy from the Guardian Angels running against him as the Republican. He's run like 47 times and lose every time. Great American, great guy, courageous man. But he's going to get smoked because he's a Republican. But anyway, Kyle Becker video. Watch NYC's leading radical mayoral candidate gets exposed as a fraud on live television. Play for me.
Because I think that New Yorkers, more than they hate a politician they disagree with, they hate a politician they can't trust.
On the subject of trust, you've adopted different speaking accents in different scenarios.
But they go to their local bodega.
Is there one that's real and one that's affected?
What I would say is, as any immigrant knows, having been born in Kampala, Uganda, and then raised in South Africa and moving here when I'm 7 years old, is there are different parts of my life.
Worldwide tour is a worldwide tour is a worldwide tour.
Mamdani was talking about a worldwide press tour back when he was a rapper.
Bring the flavor to the fish, bring the flavor to the rice.
In a Disney movie directed by his mother.
Nepotism and hard work goes a long way. Here in New York City, this is how I speak. This is how I am.
Do you believe in the First Amendment?
In New York City, this is how I speak. So what he says is, when people don't hate politicians because what they believe, they hate them because they're fake. And then he actually says at the end of that same comment, this is how I speak in New York City. Why is it that Democrats have to adopt various accents? I mean, why is it that they all, basically all do it? Whether it's Jasmine Crockett goes ghetto whenever she believes that's advantageous. Hussein Obama did the exact same thing. Hillary Clinton does the exact same thing. And probably many others also. So again, he says, you know, what makes people hate politicians is when they're fake. And then they show him using at least 2 fake accents. I mean, Aaron, what's that deep Indian sort of accent or Muslim accent he kind of had?
You're going to the bodega.
He doesn't talk anything like that. And by the way, he uses, remember now, he was here since he was 8 years old. He just said it in the video.
Yeah.
He certainly, at 30, would not have that accent.
A worldwide tour is a worldwide tour is a worldwide tour.
Well, I mean, imagine the fraud that you would have to be. Imagine the fraud that you would have to be to actually carry that out as a 30-year-old. I mean, because he's been in the country for, I don't know, 30 years? And he still has, what's the accent, Aaron? Worldwide tour?
Worldwide tour. Going to a worldwide tour.
And that's what all the Democrats just voted for that. This shows you the state of the Democratic Party. I can get as mad at Trump as I want, and by the way, still be MAGA. I don't care what people think. Even if Trump called me up and told me not to vote for him, I still vote for him. This is better than anything else. But anyway, you know, that's the status of being a Democrat in 2025, is you will vote for an absolute fraud. Speaking of fraud, townhall.com video. Here's more on, keep up with me, Aaron. Zoran, Mom Donnie. Here's Zoran. Again, townhall.com video. We've got ourselves another crier. Play it for me.
I get messages that say the only good Muslim is a dead Muslim. I get threats on my life. On the people that I love. And I try not to talk about it. Because the function of racism, as Toni Morrison said, is distraction. My focus has always been on making this a city that's affordable, on making this a city that every New Yorker sees themselves in. And it takes a toll, because this is a city that every single person deserves to be in. It's a city that we all belong to. And the thing that's made me proudest in this campaign is that the strength of our movement is built on our ability to have built something across Jewish and Muslim New Yorkers, across New Yorkers of all faiths and all backgrounds and all boroughs. And anti-Semitism is such a real issue in the city, and it has been hard to see it weaponized by candidates who do not seem to have any sincere interest in tackling it, but rather in using it as a pretext to make political points. And that's what I've tried to share.
Thank you so much.
I mean, again, it's actually, the dichotomy is actually difficult to talk about because it actually is so layered out. But you hear what he said at the very end there, that anti-Semitism has been weaponized by other politicians, naming like Cuomo is what he's talking about at the time, as he cries and cries about being threatened. But anyway, so he says that has been weaponized. I guess he means by whether it's Columbia University, the other universities in New York City, where people that are there preaching the Antifada have been called anti-Semite. Do you know why they're called anti-Semite? Because they are anti-Semites. And, you know, just because I don't support Israel attacking Iran, I'm not attacking them because of their religion. By the way, most Jewish people have nothing to do with the Jewish faith. And that sounds antithetical. Most Israeli people have nothing to do with the Jewish faith. Just like most Americans aren't really Christians. They may have an attachment to Christianity, but they're certainly not born again. But anyway, so he actually uses, like, whether it's the Anti-Defamation League or whatever it may be. And it's really layered, because if you deal with like Jonathan Greenblatt from, or Greenblatt, whatever, Greenblatt.
Yep.
Jonathan Greenblatt from the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, he is fervently leftist. Mom Donnie is also fervently leftist, and they're actually against each other. And because Greenblatt actually weaponizes anti-Semitism, and he actually does weaponize it, and then other people aren't weaponizing it, they're actually saying things that are true about people who are anti-Semitic.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you see the layers of it all, and that's why everybody sees this, and maybe you're a neocon MAGA moron that's watching this right now, because you've cast all people out like me, because we said one bad thing about one thing Trump has done. Now you see the dichotomy of things, and there's a lot of disagreement on the left. But what they do on the left is just get in line. Is that what you want to do? No, what we ought to do is have an open forum on the right. And we all disagree. You know, we disagree on, let's say, 20% of things. And we agree on 80%. We fight it out. And then we all move on. I'm not going to spend the next, you know, you already noticed. It's already over on the Israel stuff tonight. If the war starts back up, I'll jump on it. But again, we all need to be able to go to war And there's some people that I'm not interested in anymore because they're morons. They're stupid people. But we'll still all vote for Trump, and that's fine. But you see how this is actually layered out, which is kind of a side note to all of this. Because what he was talking about there was, there he is, he's bawling about that which he espouses, because he's talking about getting death threats. Will's over here saying 5,000 times how the Muslims are always threatening the Jews, which is absolutely correct. But it's not just the Jews, it's all infidels. It's all of us. That's who they're actually threatening. It's not only the Israelis. You have one of the few things that Benjamin Netanyahu actually gets right is that we are the big Satan and Israel is the little Satan. If you look at actual Muslim propaganda, we're the number one evil, actually ahead of Israel in the world. So the infidels all have to go. And then what we do is they're all, it's funny for me with everybody, right or left, is you actually, whether just using since Iran's in the headlines right now, they're all screaming like death to America and everything. And it's been Democratic Party policy to import them. That's the Democratic Party policy, is to import jihadists, import people who are chanting death to the infidels, which is everybody who doesn't bow the knee to Muhammad. All right, let's go to the next one. Steve 2A video. New York is mimicking the UK. Remember the UK now? They've been overrun, absolutely overrun. Most of their, I can't say most, many of their mayoralships are actually held somehow by Muslims. Why is that exactly? If they are actually a small percentage of the population, which they still are, in the UK, Muslims are still a smaller percent of the population. Aaron, get that for me, would you? Population of Muslims in the UK. I believe it's 16%, but I don't know that. It may be 6. But anyway, they have a much smaller percent of the population than the Christian ethos inside of the UK. But yet, for some reason, they're owning all these mayorships. Why is that? Well, number one, because liberal white women think that it gives them virtue to be so open-minded to vote for a Muslim, and the fear of being called Islamophobic, and some sort of pseudo-religious guilt that makes you want to vote for another religion, I guess. So now, remember that going on there. Now it's being imitated in, of course, New York City first inside the United States. But it's not just New York City. Go down to Texas and see what's going on there, which we will in just a minute. All right, Steve 2A video, New York is mimicking the UK. Play for me.
New York government has now signed a bill that will allow the Muslim call to prayer to be broadcasted 5 times a day.
Changed its noise ordinance, now allowing the Islamic call to prayer to be broadcast from speakers year-round 5 times a day.
The Muslim call to prayer. 5 times a day, Muslims gather to pray at mosques, but the broadcast for the pre-dawn and nighttime prayers weren't allowed until now. The city eliminated time constraints from the part of its noise ordinance related to religious worship. In the summer, that means the call could go out as early as 3:30 a.m. and as late as 11 p.m.
That would be fun, wouldn't it, to hear that over the public sound system at 3 a.m.? Wouldn't you just love that? And that's what everybody... Now, listen, think about, first of all, what a whore you have to be to go ahead and okay that. And what a coward you have to be to okay that. That now you're going to force... And by the way, if in the UK, because we seem to be the... NYC wants to be like London. So in London, if you are out there on the street corner preaching the gospel, you're going to be arrested. They'll warn you first. They will warn you. They will come up to you and say, hey, listen, if you stop preaching the gospel right now, we won't arrest you. But if you don't, we will. And you can pull up all the videos right now. You don't believe me, pull it up. Whether it's Rumble, whether it's Google, whatever, maybe YouTube of, probably not YouTube because YouTube would never want to espouse the truth. But anyway, you pull it up and you'll see Christians being arrested all the time in the UK for preaching the gospel. Not to mention, you're not allowed within, I believe it's 500 feet of an abortion clinic to think about Jesus. I remember a guy being arrested in the UK for saying a silent prayer for his dead son that was aborted outside within 500 feet of an abortion clinic, but way, many, many yards away. And he was arrested for thinking a prayer. That's a fact, by the way. But with all that in mind, in the UK, whether it's London or wherever else, they do the Muslim call to prayer. The Christians are being arrested on the street, but they usurp the public utilities or set up giant sound systems and actually do the Muslim call to prayer, and there's no consequence whatsoever. Isn't that weird? They're allowed to preach Islam, but the Christians are not allowed to preach at all. Why is that? Mainly because people are afraid to stand up to it. They're afraid to stand up to it because they will be called names. That's the same thing in every other area. All other leftist doctrine. The only reason why it ever receives any sort or gets to any level of prevalence is because everybody's afraid to say anything about it. Same thing happened with masking, with vaxxing, with social distancing, with locking down and quarantining. It's all the same thing. I don't want to say anything because if I do, people are going to say that I lack the virtue of compassion. Everyone's afraid to actually speak the truth because of the consequences thereof. Can't be that way. So here, what's the real root of Islam? This is a MTS Mahmoud video. FBI agent John Quantalo perfectly explains Islam. Play it for me.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam is no more complicated than that. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts: the Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims. So let's just put that on the line. And so we're here talking national security issues. We have people here that are running for the office of President of the United States. And we have to begin there. And what I would put forth is that since, and actually prior to, but since 9/11, our entire national security apparatus has been unprofessional in its approach to this war, from the four-star generals to the office of the president to the national security staff to the leaders of DHS when it was created, the FBI, the CIA, and other agencies. Because we have said this has nothing to do with Islam, despite the fact that our warfighting doctrine says when you analyze an enemy, you start with who he says he is and why he's fighting. And 100% of this enemy that we're facing, from the jihadi in Chattanooga to the 9/11 hijackers and everybody before and in between, have all said we're Muslims waging jihad in the cause of Allah in order to impose Islamic law and establish caliphate, period. So that's what it is. And if we look in Islamic law, authoritative Islamic law, the kind you get at mosque bookstores, not at Barnes & Noble, you will see that 100% of them say that jihad is warfare against non-Muslims. And it's total warfare. It's not just guns and bombs. It's psychological warfare. It is political warfare. It's subversion. It is the whole nine yards. It's total warfare, something that our DOD has not been practicing. I would say you'd have to go back towards Reagan administration and maybe even beyond that. Complete and total war against non-.
And you might be wondering how this all works, because you'll be like, okay, well, how is this? Because you have, well, if you go back to 10-7, I'm not going to listen to Israel and Iran again. I'm just saying, using 10-7-23 as an example, you definitively had, because remember here, From the FBI agent John Guandolo, the goal of Islam is jihad to caliphate to Sharia law. That's it, by the way. And they can say whatever they want. That's it. And it's not just the elimination of Jews and Israelis. It's the elimination of everybody who is an infidel. Everybody. That's jihad to caliphate, which is Muslim rule, to Sharia law, which is severe Muslim, absolute Muslim subjection. So that's the point of it. So how does it all work together then? Well, I don't know if I can illustrate it perfectly, but I'll just give you my viewpoint on it. Basically, Islam is used as the enforcement Gestapo wing for the globalist left, even though the globalist left finds them repulsive. Tom, that makes sense. I'm just telling you that's the way that it is. It's a green blue meshing sort of like with not green. What is it? I can't remember the colors. But anyway, if you look at how does it work? You look at the Democratic Party, and I'll go back to 10-7 in just a second. But you look at the Democratic Party. Well, they mesh themselves basically with, you know, and I can't remember whether it's red. I can't remember the symbolic color of Islam, but whatever. But anyway, so you have Democrats that fervently support the Islamicists that will actually throw them off of 4-5-story buildings because in the moment, they're useful. In the moment, they're absolutely useful to them. And as with history, they'll end up, all the Islamists will end up being wiped out by the very people they served. That's how it will go. And it's like that with all the other communities that are subjected to the globalist left, whatever those communities may be, whether it's the black community, historically Hispanic community, whatever it may be, those that are subjected to the globalist left. And you can, in globalist left, you know, is symbolized and embolized even with Stalin, with Hitler, whatever it may be. They're useful tools in the moment. So we all know that 10-7, there was a giant Israeli Mossad IDF stand down for 7 solid hours allowing the invasion into Israel where they went into the music festival and killed 14, 15, whatever, 100 people and taking many hostages, including killing 100 Americans and taking several dozen American hostages. But anyway, so you're like, wait a minute, but that was actually caused by Mossad, potentially, or Hamas, but Hamas was actually formed by Israel. So Israel will then, if they form Hamas, they're the ones who actually form. It's no different than the CIA's various NGOs around the globe that are fighting against America and American values. National Endowment for Democracy, Brookings Institute, all are censorship apparatuses coming out of Langley, Virginia. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. Don't have time to deep dive into any of that right now. But anyway, so they're useful. They're useful apparatchiks. They're useful tools in the moment. And that's why, so they're actually, now, who's more evil, the one who orchestrates it or the one who carries it out? I don't know. And it doesn't matter in the eyes of the person, the only person that it matters, that is our judge, Jesus Christ. He's our judge. Not God Almighty, he's not our judge. Please read your Bible. John 5:22-23, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So he's the judge. So that's all that really matters. But even if you have an Israeli event carried out by Hamas, which Israel actually formed in conjunction with Mossad and the CIA, funds them, that's absolutely proven fact. So, and then they carry out these various offense where you call it sacrificing pawns. That was the attack on the Liberty also. When you sacrifice a pawn, Gulf of Tonkin, Bay of Pigs, whatever it may be, where you're trying to get to a greater event, a greater war, you know, war event by sacrificing pawns to instigate a greater war. So, which is what Israel does one time after another, which our CIA does one time after another. So again, who's more wrong? Well, I don't know. They mean the Muslims who are carrying out the intifada, because does Hamas know they're funded by Israel? Not the soldiers who are perfectly willing to go and rape, kill, and destroy. They're perfectly willing to do that. So they're very evil. I hope everyone, Aaron, is this making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope everybody can read this dichotomy, because a lot of times it'll be, well, I just choose one or the other. Well, who's more wrong? And I know people think that, you know, the planes may have been remote controlled on 9/11 or whatever. That's not at all what the flight logs say. So can we not, like, let's not go too far over the deep end. We know it was the CIA, Mossad, Israeli op. We know that. But there were Muslims flying the planes. They were here in Venice, Florida. They were here training at, yep, Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida. Yep. Can we all agree on that at least? And you have the black boxes that were actually, well, you can hear them talking over the planes. It was not a remote control. I disagree with anybody who says that. You know, building seven was demoed, and the Twin Towers were demoed. But there were two planes that flew into them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on video, folks. I mean, I just heard a guy arguing with Charlie Kirk about this and claiming that no planes flew into the World Trade Centers. I watched it live on TV, yeah, on the day. Aaron, you got something?
No, I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, so... We you have to be able to surf a wave of rationalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, they were remote control. There was no Islamists involved at all. Yes, there was. And they're evil. The same as Mossad is evil. Mossad orchestrated Jeffrey Epstein, but along with the CIA, which is the United States, which is why, again, neocon MAGA morons, you don't just buy in. Well, if the United States says it, then it's right. No. Donald Trump orchestrated Project Warp Speed. Okay, I mean, that's not good. So you have to be able to say that and not be considered fake MAGA or a Israeli plant or a Democratic Party plant. Basically all of which I've been called over the last couple days. So it's just absolute garbage. So you have to be able to walk that line. Because if you have Mossad orchestrating Hamas activities, both are doing evil. So you have the Israelis doing evil from a Jewish nation. You have the CIA doing evil from a Christian nation. And you have Muslims doing evil from an Islamic nation. All of which are doing evil. And each one of those countries that are represented, whether it's the United States, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether it's Israel, do some good. You have to be able to walk that line. And the only person who's actually righteous is whose sin has been hidden by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how it all works. Life is actually simple, but difficult to swallow. All right, back to Mom Donnie, basically the new mayor of New York City. Donald J. Trump, Truth Social post he put out today. It's finally happened. I love these. This is why I love Donald Trump. It's finally happened. The Democrats have crossed the line. Zohran Mamdani, a 100% communist lunatic, has just won the Democratic primary and is on his way to becoming mayor. We've had radical lefties before, but this is getting a little ridiculous from this native New Yorker. He looks terrible. He looks terrible. His voice is grating. He's not very smart, all of which is true. He's got AOC plus three, dummies all backing him, and even our great Palestinian senator Chuck Schumer is groveling over him. Yes, this is a big moment in the history of our country. It really is that even though New York has been fallen for a long time, Eric Adams was ostensibly useless. This is a very bad thing for America that our largest city, for all intents and purposes, now has a fervently anti-Israel, anti-American Muslim who now is pledged to go fight anti-Semitism, even though he says anti-Semitism has been weaponized against him. He's going to go fight anti-Semitism. Tom, make that make sense. That would take a half an hour. All right, townhall.com video. Socialist promises. This is Zohran Mamdani. These are his socialist promises. Play for me.
If we can pull up some of his proposals here. Yeah, freeze the rent. City-run grocery stores, $70 billion worth of debt to fund affordable housing, free buses, no-cost childcare, baby baskets to newborns, $30 minimum wage, a few more not on this list here, defund NYPD, defund prisons, defund medical bills, and get rid of private insurance. Your thought?
So here's the list from the Muslim socialist. He wants to, and by the way, he has no ability to do any of these things. But don't worry, all the soccer moms in their minivans that have lopped off all their hair and now look like they're lesbians, they all feel very virtuous because, well, they're open-minded. They're open-minded. So they voted for a Muslim because they're open-minded. Even though they know Muslims and by the way, there's no holds barred here. No holds barred here, by the way. They know that Muslims basically conduct mass rape gangs. They know that. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You don't even look at what's happened in the UK with the Pakistani population that's migrated there. Not invaded, migrated there. And it's always funny, too, because they migrate from a country they hate to a country that they love and turn it into the country they hate. That's weird. Why wouldn't you just stay in your Muslim country? Why wouldn't you just stay there? If you love Sharia law and you love the caliphate so much, why don't you stay in the country that's already under the caliphate and under Sharia law? But yet, no, you migrate to a country that's not under the caliphate, that's not under Sharia law, right? And then, you know, of course, that's the point. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it on purpose. So this alleged, I don't even know how to put it into words. Muslim Islamic socialist, which I've never heard those two words put together before, because it's really not, they're not socialists. They're more monarchies. They're always monarchies. You know, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, the mullahs, these are religious kings. But suddenly this guy is a Islamic socialist because what he's doing is adopting socialism to ingratiate himself to the populace, to usher in the caliphate, and then to usher in Sharia law. So this is what he's espousing, a rent freeze. So there won't be, they will not raise any rents in New York. He has no ability to do that, but yet people voted for him anyway because they're afraid of being called Islamophobic, or they want the virtue of being open-minded. City-run grocery stores. $70 billion of debt to fund affordable housing. $70 billion for a city. $70 billion to fund affordable housing. Free buses. Where's all this? Where? Now, you're going to freeze the rent, which, of course, freezes tax increases then. City-run grocery stores. Where's the tax revenue going to come from? I mean, I saw a meme or a tweet today of money counters. You know, those machines in Vegas where they count all the cash, you know. And that was like people in Florida waiting for all the New Yorkers to move down here because of this. We don't want you if you're going to vote for this once you get down here, by the way. Just stay in New York and enjoy your Muslim socialist. Free buses, no cost childcare. Baby, free baby baskets. Free baby baskets to newborns. $30 minimum wage and a rid of private insurance. This is what this guy's espousing, and Americans voted for all of it. And then those Americans who are voting for socialism will say that they are ardent defenders of democracy. That's the Democratic Party in 2025. All right, let's go to the next one. Jorge Benilla video. This ain't MSNBC. Joy Reid demands that Arthur Adela explain exactly how Mondani, mayor or something or other, would devolve New York City to the bad old days of the 70s. Play for me.
There's no one happier after Mondani and his family than Eric Adams tonight, because everyone over 50 years old who remembers Times Square in the 1970s and the 1980s when you couldn't walk through, it was all pornography and crack and muggings and rapes and robberies. Everyone who remembers that is going to vote for Eric Adams. The New York Times, who didn't do an endorsement, did say, please don't vote for Mamdani, as did the Daily News, as did the New York Post. So anybody who knows how bad New York can get all came out against Mamdani, because a 33-year-old with zero experience running anything except a little office with five employees not be running the city of New York.
Donald Trump is president of the United States. His experience was being on The Apprentice. He's got the head of the Pentagon.
He was a billionaire.
Are you a 70-year-old man? Are you kidding me?
He's got
Dr. Oz is in his administration.
You're leaving out something. He's a 33-year-old socialist who's never run a popsicle stand.
He's literally in city government right now. After Donald Trump and his pinky in the brain administration, no one ever gets to talk about qualifications.
Socialism
again.
Will not
sorry,
save the capitalist
The bottom line is, what
world.
I want to ask you a question. What is your evidence that Mamdani would return New York City to the 1970s hellhole Times Square? What is your evidence?
It's very simple. So he wants to raise taxes on people who make the most money. What eventually is going to happen is you're going to lose that tax base. Once you lose that tax base, our bonds will get degraded. Now the city budget will not be substantial enough to subsidize not only the cops, but the fire department, the sanitation department. Once you start losing Wall Street and people who pay $11,000, $12,000 a month to live on the
okay,
Upper
so
East Side.
Let me ask you.
And you go back to the 70s when Gerald Ford said to New York, drop dead.
Okay, but hold on, Arthur.
So again, Joy Reid and that facial expression that she has, that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. But imagine that. So they're just talking about the qualifications of this 33-year-old Islamic socialist who has at most in his life had five employees. I had more than that at the sheriff's office. I had double that, if not more than that, at the sheriff's office. And I certainly don't qualify to be mayor of New York City. And then Joy Reid's response is, Well, if he's not qualified, then Donald Trump isn't certain qualified. What are you talking about? And as the other conservative host said, this man has never even run a popsicle stand, and you're going to then compare him to somebody who runs an international, multinational, multi-billion dollar company like Donald Trump? You're going to compare me? That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Absolutely nonsensical comparisons that make absolutely zero cognitive sense whatsoever. Mom Donnie has never run a business in his life. He never has ever owned a business. And at most, he's had 5 employees. That's it. Donald Trump, I don't know how many thousands upon tens of thousands of employees that he has internationally and billions of dollars worth of businesses, hotels, restaurants, golf courses, whatever it may be. And that's the comparison that Joy Reid is going to make. I mean, it's the same thing as Akeem Jeffries coming up today and saying that the economy is a complete disaster when we're setting new stock market records today. Just absolute nonsensical lies. All right, let's go to the next one, wherever we're at. Where are we at, Will? Nick's order? Or Nick and wokeness. All right, and wokeness. We're gonna run the next two in a row, Will. And wokeness, and the next video will be Nick Sorter. New York's next mayor is a radical Muslim socialist, and this is what he was doing about, I don't know, 2 months ago. Play it for me.
Candidate. He hadn't won yet, but he won the Democratic primary, Zohrein Mamdani. So he's saying, I mean, this is incredible. He's vowed to kick the, quote, fascist ICE out of New York City. Okay? So how do you intend to deal with that? Because I would guess there are going to be a lot of criminals and Iranian cells and whatnot in New York City. The job's not done there. What do you say to this guy?
Good luck with that. Federal law trumps him every day, every hour of every minute. We're going to be in New York City. Matter of fact, because it's a sanctuary city, President Trump made it clear a week and a half ago. We're going to double down and triple down on sanctuary cities. If we can't arrest a bad guy in a county jail, one agent arresting one bad guy, they release him in the streets like New York does every day. We got to send a whole team to look for this guy. And not only that, we're going to send additional teams to look for all the people they arrest. We're going to concentrate in sanctuary cities because we know they're releasing public safety threats and national security threats back to the street. So we know we got a problem there. So we don't have that problem in Florida where most sheriffs work for us. So we're going to double up and triple up on New York. And not only are we going to send more agents to the neighborhood, we're going to increase worksite enforcement tenfold. Mm. If we can't arrest them in the jail, you're going to force them in the neighborhood, then we'll find them in the neighborhood. If we can't find them in the neighborhood, we'll find them at the worksite. So game on.
You know, so bonus here with Mom Donnie is that he is, of course, pro-illegal immigration. That was him screaming at ICE agents. And he's made the commitment that he's actually said he's going to arrest ICE agents in New York. Great, great job, New York City. Fantastic job electing. I can't say they've elected him yet, but basically electing this man to be your next mayor. All right, go to the next one for me. So here's Stephen Miller responding to basically Mom Dami being elected. The commentary about NYC Democrats nominating an anarchist socialist for mayor omits one point. How unchecked migration fundamentally remade the New York City electorate. Oh, replacement migration is what we're talking about. Replacing the electorate. Again, this is all part, leave this up. This is all part of the leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point, leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda. That's all part of it. By flooding first world countries with third world immigrants who have no heritage connection to the country they are illegally migrating into. So they are there then very easily globally governed. Do you think that Zohrein Mamdani has any connection whatsoever or adherence to the Bill of Rights or the Constitution? Absolutely not. Which now he is very easily globally governed. Out of the UN, globally governed out of London, out of Davos, out of Glasgow, out of Beijing, very easily globally governed, or even potentially out of Jerusalem. The commentary about it, well, let's see where, how unchecked migration fundamentally remade the New York City electorate. Democrats change politics by changing voters. Exactly. That's how you turn a city that defined U.S. dominance into what it is now. Exactly right. All right, let's go to the next one. Kylie Bonet video. Look who supports it. Look who supports Mom Donnie win. Look who supports it. Play for me.
His critic said that he didn't have the experience. His critic said that he didn't have the right name. Well, now all of them know his name. What's his name? 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 What's his name?
I don't know if there's any more repulsive, both physically and mentally and socially, human being on the planet than Big Tish James. Honestly, I don't know who has a more grating voice, her or Mark Levin, but I would actually give her the edge. All right, go to the next one for me. Alpha News tweet, socialist organization rally. So she has this, how it spreads. And Aaron sent me the stats earlier. Muslims make up 6.5% of the UK population and hold 21 mayoralships inside of the UK. This is how it works. This is how it spreads. And it spreads like a disease because Islam is a disease. Alpha News tweet, socialist organization rallies behind Omar Fattah for Minneapolis mayor. So this is up next. They already got one here. And all the Democrats are going to vote for him because it is a Democratic Party checkmark of virtue if you vote for an Islamic candidate. After socialist NYC primary win, moderate Democrat Dean Phillips, a former Minnesota congressman, wasted no time warning his party that doubling down on socialism could doom the Democrats in 2026. Well, we'll see. And that's what's great. But they won't have the guts to do it. Nobody has the gut. That's why, see, this is the thing. And I don't mean to keep bringing it back to this, but don't follow the lead of the Democrats. Because the Democrats are all, what, Aaron, have you heard Democrats all rallying against this? No. Against Zoran Mamdani?
No.
They're all saying bad, are they all like coming out against it? No. They all know it's a really bad idea, but they won't dare say it. That's why in the Republican Party, we need to be able to argue about an Israeli or an Iranian bombing. We need to be able to do that and say it and not just adhere to the party line. Because if you don't, you end up being a sycophantical agitprop of some totalitarian. You will turn good men into totalitarians if you never argue with them. You because like on the right, we are all for freedom. Freedom of speech. I mean, think about Christianity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be yoked again by a burden of slavery. I mean, don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we need to be the opposite of the left, who they know this is an absolute apocalypse. That Mamdani is now their mayoral candidate inside of the largest city in the United States of America. They know it's an apocalypse, but they won't dare say it for numerous reasons. But for one of them, because they don't want to be called names. They don't want to lose their check marks where you are glad to vote for Muslims. That's a check mark on your Democratic Party approval list. They won't dare say it. So we on the right need to be different and be able to argue, because we will turn good right wingers into totalitarians if you treat them like gods. You need to be exactly the opposite. You don't need to mimic the spirit of the globalist left by adhering to any group or any person blindly. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's what you can't do it. You need to be able to have you don't just turn on Alex Jones. Because I don't agree with everything Alex Jones says at all. He came out kind of in favor of the big, beautiful bill at first, kind of turned on it now, but he's approves of it probably 30 or 40% more than I do. I still watch him every day. Oh, that's it. That's it. He's fake MAGA. He votes for the big, beautiful bill. It's just like those of you in the chat that believe that it was a good thing that we attacked Iran and blew up their nuclear facilities. All right, we disagree. I'm glad you can voice it on the TLP. Voice it. Maybe some of you got in a fight on the chat. Well, fine. That doesn't mean that now you're just excommunicated from the TLP. That's the same thing with church. You got to have a 20% variance inside the church. There's people who are King James only. There's people who don't like loud music. There's people who don't like this song or that song. They don't like that I stream too much. They don't like my sarcasm, whatever it may be. But you need to be able to have those 20% disagreements and argue about them and still be civil and not go, oh, you're a fake Christian. How would that be if I did that at church? If Will came up to me and said, you know what, Tom, I just, you know, that one point that you made about this or that. Will, you're a fake Christian. How could you doubt dare you disagree with the Supreme Leader here at Foundation Church? You should be able to disagree with the Supreme Leader. Otherwise, you are basically listing heavily towards totalitarianism. And we can usher in totalitarianism via the right, just like you can usher in via the left, too, by the way. All you need to do is don't question anything. Yep. Don't question the party line. Don't question the leader's line. You got to qualify as MAGA. If you don't agree with every last thing Trump does, you don't qualify as MAGA. That's actually the opposite of MAGA. That's like believing that banning speech will protect your democracy, or not doing forensic audits on elections is defending democracy. Banning speech is defending democracy. Banning forensic audits is defending democracy. It's the opposite of democracy. Questioning all things is the essence of freedom. It's the essence of it. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I, Will? Visegrad?
Yes, sir.
Visegrad 24. Listen to this. This is an excellent example of dichotomy from Visegrad 24. Play for me.
You cannot be Muslim more than me. You will not be more Arab than I. So why is it that I banned the Muslim Brotherhood and you haven't?
Istanbul, alhamdulillah, now in our hands. Rome will one day will be in our hands. And every house and every tent will have a Muslim in it.
Why is it the fact that Islamic Relief is banned in UAE and it's banned in Mecca, but is allowed in Paris and in London? So it's, yeah, there's a lot of questions to be asked.
More British citizens traveled to the Islamic State to fight in its ranks than joined the British Armed Forces.
We are coming and we will destroy you.
The problem is not with the freedom of speech. The problem is that there is an evil inside your society now using that policy of freedom of speech to abuse it and to destroy your society.
Yeah, that's how it works. So I'm just going to go back to front. So what Muslims do is they infiltrate a country, use their freedom of speech to then usher in the caliphate and Sharia law to ban speech. So they actually use their freedom of speech to usher in laws that will ban speech. Sounds like Democratic Party. But the interesting part, the most interesting part of that video is, doesn't matter what sect you use, whether it's, you know, radical Islamic sect, the Muslim Brotherhood, but one, like the, I can't remember the name of the radical Islamic sect that's allowed in the United States, but not allowed in Mecca. The Muslim Brotherhood is not allowed in certain Muslim countries, but is allowed in the United States and UK. So you have the most radical sects of the Muslim community not allowed in radical Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia. The most radical sects are not, I'm saying S-E-C-T. The most radical Muslim sects are not allowed in radical Muslim countries, but are allowed in the United States because nobody wants to be called Islamophobic. We're going to do like Keir Starmer and allow Muslim rape gangs to rape 12-year-old girls because Keir Starmer doesn't want to be called anti-Islamic, because if he does, if he's called anti-Islamic, it ruins his political career and all of his money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Islamic Relief. Thank you, Aaron. Islamic Relief is not allowed in Mecca, but it is allowed in the United States. Not allowed in Mecca, but it is allowed in the United States because Democrats and weak Republicans are afraid of being called Islamophobic. All right, I got to try to get to some stuff here. I don't know if I can. You know what? We're going to do a big jump here because I want to get to this one part. Jump all the way up to townhall.com, stock market nearing all-time record. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to go over this because I want to give Trump his due. All right, so here we go. A townhall.com video. Jumping off the Muslim stuff, that's enough. We've been doing it for an hour. But anyway, stock market nearing all-time record. CNN is forced to report that President Trump's economy is soaring. Play it for me.
We're just minutes away from the closing bell on Wall Street, and the S&P 500 closed yesterday on the cusp of a record high. Right now, kind of flatlining down just a teensy-weensy bit. CNN's Vanessa Yurkevich joins us now with more. Vanessa, this is really impressive given where the market was not that long ago.
Yeah, really a remarkable story on Wall Street. We've been watching the S&P very closely all day as it has been flirting with a new record, the last one set back in February. But it is remarkable because at the low of the S&P, it had shed $9.8 trillion in April, almost entering bear market territory. And it's nearly now recovered all of its losses. And just look at the markets. You see the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ on your screen. That dramatic V-shaped drop and then recovery. I was talking to a chief investment strategist, Sam Stovall of CFRA, who told me that usually it takes about 4 months for markets to enter the low and then another 4 months for a recovery to get back to even. That happened in half the time. So it really is remarkable. And essentially, investors, what they have seen is that after the 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs and after the tariff rates on China were reduced from 145% to 30%, they really believe that the fear of a recession was taken off the table and that maybe some of these tariffs had more bark than bite. And also, Boris, just recently, the conflict in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. Well, what happened over the weekend was that the U.S. took out nuclear sites in Iran. And so Wall Street woke up Monday morning and they were relieved. Investors were relieved. So you saw a little bit of a relief rally happening today. But we're watching down to the last minute to see if the S&P will hit a new record today.
Yeah, I thought it was all falling apart. I mean, you had Hakeem Jeffries today on the Hill saying, I mean, again, he's standing in front of a podium, just like this, front of a microphone, saying this is Donald Trump's approval ratings are going way down, which I'll show you that in just a minute. So is that true? No. Says the economy is terrible. Is that true? No. Record jobs in the month of April, as we've already outlined, the May jobs report has not come out yet. I'm sure it's going to be record jobs again. Basically, overall inflation is 0.2% rising to about 1.9%. So it's gone up 0.2% on average, going to the rate that it was when Trump left office back in 2021. That's where we're at. That's how low inflation is right now. And you have the nerve, as Hakeem Jeffries and also numerous other Democrats, all, you know, the economy is terrible. And it's the exact same because it's an inverted world where they were saying, remember back when Biden was still running for president, that this is the greatest economy in the world. So it's the perfect little inversion. So when the economy is horrible under a Democrat, they espouse that it's great. And when it's great under a Republican, they espouse that it is horrible. And everything that they say belie the exact facts, the statistical facts. They actually espouse espouse an opinion that is an absolute diametrically opposed to the factual data that's available to all Americans. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You're going to go out and say things that are very easily exposed to be bold-faced lies. The economy is terrible, is it? That's terrible to you? I mean, look, we're talking about all-time records. 577,000 jobs added in April. Inflation on average is going up 0.2%. Where inflation right now is about just under 2%, 1.9%. And Democrats come out, and when Biden's running for president and the economy's horrible, they say the economy is great. In direct contradiction to the factual data. And now they say that the economy is horrible, in direct contradiction to the factual data. Go to the next one for me. Rasmussen reports. So how's Trump doing? You've had people like me, you know, come out against him on the Iran strikes and all this different stuff. Now, you know, you have the Democrats now saying that the strike on Iran's nuclear facilities basically didn't accomplish all that he said that it did. Well, how's he doing then? Well, let's look. Rasmussen reports Trump overnight presidential job approval rating is in. Single overnight approval rating, 54.45%. Trump is killing it. And by the way, again, see, because I'm real MAGA, not neocon fake MAGA moron. Real MAGA, I rejoice that Trump's doing well, even though I disagree with him on one thing. See how that works? Because even though I don't like the big, beautiful bill, even though I don't like the bombing of Iran, I don't like it. But you know what? I still support the president. And look, so does everybody else. Isn't that great? And by the way, all of us, whether it's Tucker Carlson, whether it's Alex Jones, anybody else you want to name, there's a few probably that have jumped ship. Not me, because he's certainly better than any other option out there. There really is no other option out there. All right, 1017, that's good. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Rumble Rants tonight. My friend Sherry Connors, $50. Thank you so much. Ian Mark FB, $50. Thank you guys so much. PSU, 40 is his traditional trademark. $47. Nate Dad One, $20. Greg Nine Mon, $10. 509, 25 McDonald, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Listen, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. It's funny. It's short. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.